The following podcast has been brought to you by Badger Club. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Rival Media Show proudly brings to you, it is I, one half of the longest reigning tag team champions of the world, the Angels of Death 6XL. Joining me, as always,
is I, your other half of the longest reigning Rival Media tag team champions of all the times, DJ the Great 2, DJ the Great. Of course, we are the Banter Club. We are here to discuss that AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network.
I got hoes.
We got them hoes. They've been out in the area codes. They've been waiting for weeks for the instructions. Cause first six was indisposed. And then that 1 week I was indisposed. Mm-hmm. So they ain't know what was going on. But we back to business, and now everybody is up to date.
We had a joke that you took them to Atlanta with you.
Yeah, the hoes went to Atlanta with me because they had to figure out what was going on. It was a lot going on down in Atlanta, I'll tell you that much. But of course, here on Banter Club, we discuss AEW Dynamite. But before we discuss Dynamite, we talk about the news in and out and about the world of pro wrestling.
Yes,
and of course, there's always a little bit of this and a little bit of that going on. And in good old AEW and around the world. So let's go back to Arthur Ashe Stadium for a second. This past Friday's AEW Rampage, the great Muta showed up to help out the homie Sting in his match.
The great surprise.
Yes, the great surprise. An awesome surprise for us in the building for sure. And it came off great on TV. Crazy pop.
Mm-hmm.
But
They didn't even give it the pop that we gave it.
Yeah,
they muted us out a lot more.
Yeah, because there is some editing at play because the build up to Muta coming out was actually longer in the building. They cut out
way longer. Yeah. Hell yeah, they cut out a lot on Rampage. I said I don't know if you,
but we said as much because they taped like 2 hours and 35-40 minutes of material. So yeah. We knew
they taped a lot, bro.
Yeah, we knew they was gonna cut something.
Yeah. Yeah,
so yeah, they made their cuts. But Muta showed up on Rampage to help Sting, and now Pro Wrestling Noah has announced that Sting is going to return the favor, so to speak. He's gonna team with Great Muta at the Great Muta final bye bye, which will be the Great Muta's final match.
Damn.
It's gonna be January 22nd, 2023, in Yokohama, Japan. So yeah, this is going to be, we don't know the opponent just yet, but we just know that it's going to be a tag match and Sting is going to be the one teaming with Muta, which like they talked about on Rampage, the history with those two goes way back in the day. So it'll be cool to see that chapter of Keiji Muto, his career. Cause I don't know if Muto himself is done, but the Muta character is for sure done.
Yeah.
At least that's what he's saying. So.
I feel like maybe if he's going to retire, at least still be in the business is what I think.
Yeah, yeah, because obviously that guy has a wealth of knowledge and everything to give to the business if he wants to do that. So like, I could definitely see him sticking around in some sort of capacity. So now on AEW and something that me and Hazel had talked some about, on Monday, I think. Yeah, Monday. Malakai Black.
Yes.
This man had to go on Instagram and set some shit straight.
Oh, we talked about that on Rampage.
Oh, yeah, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then I could just give the short of it here in that, you know.
Well, you can talk about like the actual thing because we didn't have any notes. So we just kind of like talked about it.
So, yeah, if you're not privy to the Malakai Black situation, he basically talked about earlier in the month on September 18th, I think he had talked about how he was going to take some time off because, you know, he has been going through some stuff lately.
Yes.
He had a friend that died, you know, him and his wife are trying to you know, recalibrate and get things in order. So he needed some time. Tony Khan gave him some time. Mm-hmm. Said, you know, you'll see him down the road. After this, people ran off and started saying that he was released, that he asked for his release, that he was released, that he was given a conditional release. All this stuff started floating around.
Not just that, the fact that they were saying, oh, mental health issues, me. That shit too.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, yo, he was like, yo, you didn't, like, don't be fucking putting my shit out there like I said to you. You feel me?
Yeah. So he had to set all that straight. Like, he had to set the fact that his personal business was getting put out into the internet out there. Mm-hmm. He had to deal with the fact that people are erroneously saying he left AEW. He clarified here, he is not leaving AEW. He is still with the company.
You know Hunter was playing into it.
Of course.
With the whole with the whole White Rabbit thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go to the website, it gives you the little, I think if you do like a command prompt thingy,
yeah,
it'll pop up as no man is ever truly good, no man is ever truly evil. And I'm like, come on, Triple H.
that's why. That if like we play that I keep saying we play that Tony Khan clip a lot. I'm serious. I'm not gonna sit back and take this fucking shit. But this is why he was mad, and justifiably mm-hmm. so. Because they are like they're trying to tamper with this talent. Fuck the talent. And let's be clear.
Yeah.
Everybody tampers. That is a universal thing in all sports and all forms of entertainment. Everybody tampers. The mm-hmm. difference is when the tampering laws are put in effect so that you don't blatantly tamper. Like if somebody is off their contract or approaching their end of the contract, then of course you know they're going to take calls and contact from other mm-hmm. potential avenues to get their money. It's when you're outright trying to contact someone when they're in the middle of a deal, trying to be like, hey, so you want to come over here? That is the type of tampering that most people try to put in laws and regulations and things mm-hmm. like that against. Again, we joked about it, but jokes aside, I 100% understand why Tony was like, fuck that shit. I'm not going to stand for that shit.
But
but the way he reacted was funny.
He said it and then he bug eyed looking around everywhere.
You got something to say? It's a funny instance, but the anger behind it is understandable. He did it again on this very Dynamite. There was a video I saw someone in the crowd took, and he came out with Bandito at the end. It was just like, Bandito Rampage! And he fucking ran off. I was like, God damn, Tony, what is going on? To the Malakai thing, it's like I talked about with Hazel on Raw. Like, it's just a matter of we as a people gotta do our due diligence in fucking ignoring the bullshit people masquerading as journalists and the actual journalists themselves, at least in scenarios like this, mm-hmm. have to be a little bit more aware and hold themselves more accountable, knowing that they are reputable sources and the things that they say will get discussed mm-hmm. in these circles heavily. So it is just that. That's just the whole thing. With that, let's talk about the rating for AEW Dynamite.
Okay.
Yes. 990,000 viewers, down 4% from last week. The first time they've been below the 1 million viewer mark since August 17th.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1849 key demographic, they were ninth on the cable charts with a 3.4 rating, which is not even that much more down from last week. It's just, you know, their weather shifted. The weather, there was a big hurricane in Florida. So the top seven spots in 18 to 49 were all Weather Channel shit. Weather and news.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, of course, man. I mean, we all got family in Florida, at least one cousin, one aunt, one uncle.
Yeah, my dad's in Florida, so
that lives out there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's always, you know, you gotta be careful with those people, you know. But they used to it, the motherfuckers, they don't care.
Yeah, they the OG Floridians, they know what to do.
Yeah.
So if they in the area where you gotta get out, they either probably got out or they got themselves to an area where they know they will be safe.
Well, let's take all the furniture upstairs.
Yeah, furniture upstairs. We gonna or wherever they know they've yep. they've lived this. They say, I mean, this was a bad hurricane, but yeah. this wasn't their first rodeo. With such an abnormal situation this week, I wouldn't look too much into it, especially, and also with that, with the hurricane affecting everything, it affected the show itself, as we're definitely going to talk about, because they were more than likely shorthanded.
Yeah, Tony, I believe, put out a message.
Yes, he told people that, you know, if you wish to stay home and get things in order for Dynamite, attendance for Dynamite is optional this week. That's what he said. He said, if you can't show up, if you need to do something, you don't have to show up. You're good.
Yeah. So a lot of those guys are Floridians.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of wrestlers, especially between the major two companies, WWE and AEW in Florida, because obviously they're both based in Florida in a lot of ways. NXT Performance Center in Florida, AEW is based out of Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah.
So, yeah. A lot of Floridian wrestlers on those rosters. So, definitely sure both companies did what they could to make sure that those people were good.
Yep.
So, with that said, I think it's time to get to the Dynamite.
Oh, shit. Ooh, yeah. I don't know where that came from.
What you mean, yeah.
Guys who fuck Stephanie, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Get that guy out of here. I've heard some things. Are you ready?
I am ready.
No! I said, are you ready?
I am ready. And whoever else is ready, you can come back to WWE anytime you want to.
Then for the thousands in attendance.
It's just that.
And the millions watching at home.
That is you.
It is time to light the fuse.
And bring the boom?
And let's banter.
AEW Dynamite from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. As always, home of EC. And of course, in the home of Extreme, we gotta open the show with some sports entertainment.
Motherfuckers, bro, really?
We're opening up with the Jazz. They're here to celebrate Chris Jericho becoming the Ocho, the new Ring of Honor World Champion. These motherfuckers come down purpled out of their minds. Always wearing some bullshit.
They literally look like they killed Barney and are wearing his skin.
And yeah, and skinned him.
as suits.
Yeah. There's always some nonsense with the Jazz. That's sports entertainment for you. So they're in there. They've got Luigi Primo to cook the pizza. He made some pizza for the Jazz in their celebration. So they got Luigi Primo in there fucking, you know, spinning the pizza dough and all that.
It's not real dough.
It's not real dough. It's gimmick.
it's either rubber or some type of felt.
Yeah. So Jericho gets the mic. He's talking. He looks over to his fellow Ring of Honor champion, pure champion, Daniel Garcia. And he's going to present him with a gift as the crowd starts to chant to Garcia that you're a wrestler.
Jericho, immediately.
As soon as he fucking addresses Daniel Garcia, hey, you're a wrestler. You're a wrestler. Like, the crowd is trying to let this man know what's going on. But Garcia, he's been looking unsure and crestfallen the whole time, but he takes the gift. He opens it up, and it's a bucket hat. They gave this man a damn bucket hat.
He's not fat. It doesn't work on him.
It was like,
you don't wear a bucket hat, you gotta be chunky. Then it looks cool. Man,
he's trying to make him a sports entertainer.
If he's slim, then he look like he going on safari.
I guess he agreed because he was like, I don't want to wear this. And he threw it off. And then he drops Luigi Primo. Mm-hmm. And he grabs the mic. He's like, all right, I've had enough. This is not what I envisioned for myself being in this business, being in this group. And now I got to get some things off my chest. See, I think
this
it's time.
This isn't me.
He's like, this isn't me, all right? I think it's time for me. And then Jericho cuts him off. He grabs the mic. He's like, Daniel, all right, I like you. You're great. But I need you to think about what you're going to say next because it's the difference between you being with us and reaching new heights or being against us. And we might have to take you out. So I'm going to ask you, Daniel, are you a sports entertainer or are you a pro wrestler? This man was like, wrestler? As if he was summoned by the wrestling gods himself. Bryan Danielson comes out.
He said where he was. He's the heart and soul.
Yes.
His heart must have beat right quick.
Man, like, oh, I've been wrestling? Called. So Bryan, he grabs the mic. He says, it seems like, Chris, you're trying to tell Daniel Garcia what you think he should be. But Daniel, you're a grown man. As far as I'm concerned, you can do whatever you want. Whether you want to be with them or you want to join the Blackpool Combat Club, whether you want to train with them or you want to train with us, whatever you do, it should be your own decision. And then Jericho steps in. He's like, shut up, Danielson. I'm sick of you trying to poach my guy. I'm sick of you and your contract tampering. All right. Daniel Garcia. Basically. Daniel Garcia belongs to me. I tell him what to do. And then Daniel's Garcia's like, hold up.
His reaction was like, all right.
Yeah, hold up.
What? Bruh, I don't belong to anybody.
Yes. And you don't tell me what to do, all right? But then he's like, but clearly we're too serious out here, right? This is a celebration. We're supposed to be entertainers. Let's do some entertaining stuff, huh? You guys, what would be entertaining, all right? What did he say?
He said some shit about making pizzas with Luigi.
Yeah, he was like, what if I woke up Luigi Primo and we made some pizzas? You guys think that would be entertaining? And the crowd cheers, like,
What if I get Justin Roberts?
Yeah, what if I go over to Justin Roberts over here?
we create a tag team.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty entertaining, huh?
you know what would be more entertaining? Yeah. What if I had a tag team match with Bryan Danielson? Wouldn't that be entertaining? The crowd fucking ate that.
Yeah, pop crazy for it. And fucking Danielson's in the background like, I think that would be entertaining. Fucking Danielson pantomiming in the background of these segments is so funny to me. Because he's being such an instigator. He's like, oh.
The whole time, that's all he's been doing is instigating.
Yeah.
He's like, you can either come with me in the Blackpool Combat Club. Yeah. Or you can be a sports entertainer, Chris Jericho over there.
Yeah, if you want to be a sports entertainer, you can do that. That's cool. But I'm just saying, we over here. We doing our thing. Blackpool Combat
Matt
Club.
Matt Menard immediately. Yo, he immediately gets upset. When you were by yourself, you had no fucking friends.
You had nothing.
For a fucking year.
You had nothing.
Nothing.
But we were there for you. And Garcia's like, you were. He's like, we're sick of this crap. We should punch you up right now.
Punch you in the face right now. Oh, you want to punch me in the face? Well, I've been told that I can have a match with anybody out here. And I think it's about time me and you. And then he starts taking all his shit off.
He's like, you said you want to punch me in the face, so.
Let's throw hands. What do you think
Daddy
about that?
Magic is like, let's go. You want a taste?
That was fucking hilarious.
So now we got Bryan Danielson versus Daddy Magic, Matt Menard.
Wait, before we leave this segment. Anna Jay getting mad at the crowd.
He's like, I'll choke you all out.
Yep. And then fucking Ty Conti eating pizza the entire time. Going,
yo, Ty Conti was enjoying the pizza. She didn't care about nothing else. She wasn't even paying attention to Sammy. She was just eating pizza the whole time.
Just nom, nom. And then fucking Jericho's giving them that look like, oh, you want that match? Blah, blah, blah. And then fucking Ty is like, yeah, I want it.
Yeah, Ty's like, yeah. This is good ass pizza. I know that.
This is a good ass pizza.
How that match though? That's a good match.
And fucking Sappy's looking at her like, nigga. But to be clear, Sammy did a little video backstage and he was talking about how good the pizza was. So I believe.
Yeah. Sammy, he did a video with Luigi Primo. He's like, this is good pizza. So yeah, I'm sure fucking they were all gimmicking, and then Ty, she took a bite and she was like, oh shit, wait a minute.
Some good ass pizza. I haven't had some pizza like this since I was in New York.
Yeah.
That's another thing they mentioned in the Philly crowd. Was like, boo.
Don't
and
be
I was
nasty.
Like, why are you booing? Y'all niggas got cheesesteak. Get out of here.
Yeah. We'll talk about cheesesteak. It's Philly. Y'all got
it's Philly. Yeah, y'all got cheesesteak.
But we got pizza. Fire. Shit.
We got pizza that. And we got chopped cheese. Leave us the fuck alone.
Yeah, y'all got plenty of good Philly food. Y'all got, yeah, we ain't hating on y'all. The pizza's on.
Cheesesteak, bro. <That's all. laughs> They got cheesesteak and ahas. That's all they got.
Brian Danielson versus Daddy Magic, Matt Menard. So they're going. Danielson gets him in the 2K comeback out of the picture-in-picture. Starts laying in the kicks. But Menard powders.
Man says the 2K.
And he does a 2K comeback. But Dragon follows with the dropkick, goes for a running knee, but Cool Hand Ange pulls him away. And then hits a fucking DDT on the floor with the ref's back turn, throws him back in the ring. That gets a near fall. So then Claudio Castagnoli just runs out like, all right. Fucking uppercuts Angelo Parker out of his shoes.
And then he fucking carries him out.
He literally just takes him away.
Like, in a crucifix, just puts him on his shoulders and just walks the fuck.
Just walks out.
You're not gonna fight. You're not fucking this shit up. Let's go.
Out of here. Let's go.
Oh man!
Straight up, Angelo Parker was kidnapped by Claudio Castagnoli.
Fucking bullied him.
You nerd! Get out of here.
People want to talk about WWE and their bully. Nobody see Claudio.
Yeah.
My son Claudio was like, "Get the fuck!
Get the fuck out of here with that." So back in the ring, Danielson's like, "Good looks," and then he fucking drops Matt Menard with the Busaiku knee, follows it up with the lapel lock. Daddy Magic taps. Brian Danielson wins. A fun match, I thought. Mm-hmm. And
you
it definitely...
really grinds my gears.
What?
No, I'm saying that's Daddy Magic. Okay.
No, that's Daddy Magic. You know what really grinds my gears?
You did the little accent. Speaking of, that shit was hilarious. Did you? Well, I know Hazel watched it.
Oh, the NXT thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw it.
You got a 33% chance. I was like,
he did the thing. He did the thing.
It was more coherent than his uncle could ever.
Yeah, because Scott was going crazy when he was doing it, man. That's what I said, though. He was like, man, he didn't tell nobody that their chances of winning drastic go down, though. That was the only
that
part.
Would have been.
Gotta tell it. Your chances of winning drastic go down.
And then fucking Triple H would have been like, no. Don't go all the way, Scott. No.
You're going to Scott.
You got to be coherent, you know.
You see on the fucking table of three, Scott was like, just keep using our stuff and you'll be fine.
Yo, I haven't seen it yet, bro.
You got to watch it. It's really
good. I'll watch it after this when I get back from getting food. Oh, I still got to pick up my laundry too.
Yeah. They have a whole bit where they're like, both Rick and Scott are just like fucking with him about using their stuff. Rick's like, yeah, he's got my singlet. Brother's like, that's my singlet. And Rick is like, yeah, with the dogs on it. Okay. It was fun.
Yeah.
But I thought this was a fun match. And it definitely set the tone in as far as this show being a show where you can tell they are shorthanded because of the hurricane. Like, the Jazz gets a long talking segment, goes about 10 minutes, and then we get out of the 10-minute Brian Danielson Daddy Magic match. So you can tell there was a lot of stuff like that on the show, promo work into match, like stuff that AEW doesn't typically do that often. Like, they do it, but not that often.
Yeah,
that's how I knew.
It was a bit filler, and it's not their fault. You know, there's a legit situation going on.
We got a video package for Jon Moxley and Juice Robinson facing off in a world championship eliminator.
Yeah. That was a Sideshow Bob groan for real, yo.
Right, if you're unaware, Juice Robinson and Six are mortal enemies. Yes. but I thought this was actually really good in a highlight.
I wore this shirt and I'm gonna talk about it.
Yes. But it was actually a good reason. It highlighted why Juice is here, why he's getting a match with Mox. Because, like it says, he's one of the few men to beat John Moxley, not just once, but twice. So, something like that. He's got Mox's number, more or less, so to speak. And Mox, as the world champion, he ain't going to stand for that. And now we got Philly's own Wheeler Yuta coming on down to the ring.
He wasn't supposed to, but he's here.
He here. He wants smoke with MJF. He says, Max, you put your hands on Tony Schiavone last week, a man who has done more for AEW than you ever will. So you get out here and you fight me in Philadelphia right now.
Hold on. Yes. I got notes on this one. Hold on.
Oh, goddamn.
Hold on. He tells MJF, I've been hit harder by better men.
Yes.
Hey, yo!
I knew what he meant.
No, it gets worse. It gets worse. Because then MJF comes out.
Yes, Max is here, the devil.
And devil he's man. He's talking about, you know, last week I had to, daddy had to spank you. And I'm like, man. Get me out of here. Give me the fuck. Get me out.
MJF, he came out. He's wearing a Mets jersey because, you know, they're in Philly. He says, Philly is the place you live if you can't afford to live in New York, which is fucked up and not
true. It's
true.
That's New Jersey. It's true. Anybody who used to live in New York, right?
Move to Jersey or Atlanta.
You either move to Jersey or you move to Philly. Or you go to Philly and get your license and get your well. Let me not talk about that.
Philly is
I'm about to blow up a lot of scams. Let me stop.
Yeah. Philly is like fifth on the leave New York list.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, like the places I said, Florida, Georgia, Jersey, all are over that. He says, you know, it's ironic that you say I don't care about AEW, Wheeler, but you're out here taking TV time away from the biggest draw in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
And then he fucking talks shit about the Phillies. And Yuta even said, you're going to come out here and talk shit about the Phillies? That's exactly what he does. He comes out and talks shit about the Phillies. And then MJF is like, I can do that, though, because I don't give a shit. Yep. And then Yuta's like, man, you listen to me. If you don't want to fight, I will come up there and leave you in a pool of your own blood on Broad Street. This whole promo was fucking MJF is a heel. Stop cheering him. Stop cheering him.
And by the end, here.
The crowd got it. They cheered him when he first came out, but then when he got into
a tiny
it,
bit, not the yeah. same as like in New York, we fucking
yeah. And I was gonna say, I do think the return MJF pop is wearing mm-hmm. off now, because like here he got cheered when he first came out, but then like when he got into his heel shtick, the crowd was like, all right, nah, he's a fucking boo. They got with it.
He also explained it to him.
Yeah.
We're devil worshippers.
Yeah. He said a whole bunch of crazy shit last week that I was in the crowd like, hey, no, no. Out come the ass boys. So Yuta stops. He ain't dumb. He ain't going to get jumped. And then MJF says, you people, you don't even deserve to hear me say my catchphrase. So I'm going to leave it to the boys here to say it for me. And then he walks out. And then, you know, Austin Gunn takes the mic. He says, MJF is better than you, and you know it.
Yep. He was like, because I'm bad. You know what? You don't deserve it. And then this whole segment is paused. Yep, it is. We're going to start off by telling motherfuckers that he's been hit harder by better men.
Fighting.
Then this man is going to be over here talking about, he didn't say fighting. He didn't say that shit.
That's what he meant.
He didn't say none of that shit. He said he'd been hit harder by better men.
Yeah.
Better men.
Fights. He fighting. He's in a combat club, damn it. He fights.
You know what I'm saying? And not just, like, I would have specifically, I've been punched harder by, you know, worse motherfuckers. No. I've been hit harder by better. Why you gotta put that? And then MJF gonna come out here talking about you know, rolling Skivon and having to spank Wheeler Yuta. Daddy had to spank, saying daddy and shit.
Well, listen, fucking, and Jeff,
and then he calls out the ass boys of all people.
Yeah.
So you got ass boys, people being hit hard by men, and you got daddy spanking you. This whole segment. Pause.
Well, who you wanted him to come out and say it? Lee Moriarty?
Get him out of here. I wanted fucking Morrissey.
Morrissey. He's better than you, and you know it.
And he's from New York, too.
He's from New York, too, yeah.
Oh, God.
Actually, Morrissey would be a good idea. I actually wouldn't mind that.
You see?
That is invention.
You see?
We got a quick video package for Jay Lethal and Darby Allin for next week. They both, Darby's like, you want to prove you're better than me, Jay? You leave Satnam Singh and you leave Sanjay in the back. You face me one-on-one. And then Lethal, he tells them, you guys stay here. I'm going to take out Darby by myself. So
Sanjay kills me. He goes, hey, Bubba. No,
hey,
Bubba.
Wait a minute. So I imagine they'll probably have a clean one-on-one match, Lethal and Darby. And then afterward, after the match is over, fucking Satnam Singh and Sanjay will run in. And then Sting will probably make the save. And then there you go. Sting might have to face off with Satnam Singh. I'm with that.
Oh, God.
Now we got Juice Robinson versus John Moxley, AEW World Championship Eliminator.
Yo, Mox, I love you, King, but you should have gave the match to me. You could have gone fishing. Remember that fishing trip you were supposed to go to and then CM Punk fumbled? You should have given me, you know, the opportunity to face this man, and I would have won. Cause come on, I got John Blaze.
I got John Blaze. Shit, they not recognize me.
But Mr. Robinson, I would have gladly had a nice little match, and it, we would have had like a little loser leaves town match or loser leaves the profession match, and I would have taken a spot in the Bullet Club, you know what I'm saying? If I won, but you know what I'm saying, like I would have won, but you know what I'm saying? If they would have gave me the match, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then I get to go home and take your life. Assume all the things.
Assume every role that you have assumed in your life, every single one.
Yep. And then you can go be fucked somewhere in Florida. So I would have left your ass in Japan. basically the idea would have been, if I win, I take everything. Everything is on the line. Everything. You know, the contract with AEW, the Bullet Club membership, your wife.
I was trying to leave it unsaid. I was trying to leave it in.
That's why I'm going to end that statement.
So, yes, if you don't know, Juice Robinson is married to Tony Storm. So Six doesn't like him too much. Uh-huh. William Regal is here. And you know, William Regal is like two steps away from just flat out hitting on Excalibur on commentary. Like, this man does not stop.
Yeah.
Man with the mask, you are looking absolutely delectable. Of course, you know, Mox and Juice are going. Juice took most of this match, which honestly surprised and impressed me.
It just surprised me, you know what I'm saying? Because he He don't deserve all that, you know what I mean?
He don't deserve all that. Yes.
Somebody put a picture of Dolph Ziggler in the corner somewhere.
It should have been me. Yes. Just know that when he says he don't deserve all that, he's not talking about this match. Mox sends him over the table. Then we cut to MJF up in the luxury suite, and he's watching with his poker chip. And I'm like, oh no, are we gonna experience it now? But they actually did not.
They didn't overdo it.
Yeah, they didn't overdo it. I guess they learned from last week. I guess they got the complaints and was like, okay, less MJF this week. And you know, they only showed him a couple times. Mm-hmm. They go back in the ring, they have a quick forearm exchange. Juice starts celebrating again after he bites Mox. So then Mox just gets pissed off. He dodges the corner cannonball, takes him out. Then Juice puts him up against the railing, hits the cannonball, and then sends him over the ring table. And this time, Mox comes up, and he's bleeding. Mox hasn't bled in a while in AEW, and Juice brought the blood back out. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? He took a week off.
Yeah, he took a week off bleeding.
But they in Philly, you know, he had to bleed.
He had to bleed. It's Philly, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So we go to Pip off that, and then we come back. Mox comes back, hits Juice with a big tope suicida. Mm-hmm. And sends him back in the ring. And they collide with big lariats. Mox hits Juice with a cutter, puts in an ankle lock into an STF. But then Juice gets the ropes. And then he thumbs Mox in the eye in the corner, comes out with a power bomb that gets a near fall. He goes for the Death Rider. Juice hits Pulp Friction. That gets a near fall. And then he goes for a reverse airplane spin. Mm-hmm. But Mox breaks out, hits a running knee, puts on the cross arm breaker, and Juice submits. I like this. Juice got a lot in, and then Mox just put him down, Blackpool BCC style. Fucking
that's
violence
what, that's what
and
they do.
Submission to end the match. But I like this match. Good match. Good match. I didn't like it at all.
Fair
enough. But I like that they sort of built Juice as, like, you know, a guy that has Mox's number, and Mox had to get a strong showing against Mox, and Mox had to get a strong win against him. I liked all of it. So if they do want to sign Juice, they put him in decent position.
Did I ever tell you I actually looked at, like, the outside of her OnlyFans?
Tony?
Yeah. It's the only time that I've ever actually looked.
At an OnlyFans?
Yeah. And in the description, it's talking about her being, you know, like the greatest female wrestler with the fattest ass. And I'm like, oh, so you know.
It's different when they be saying it. Like, I
when
still
they say it, it's like, oh, so you know.
You know. I still think about that Gigi Dolin tweet.
You can what she said?
My fat ass. I was like, oh, my God. She is very aware.
She know what she doing.
Know what she doing.
She out here hurting, man.
Yes.
Oh, God. You want to talk about digging holes and taking souls?
Yes. Ain't nothing more dangerous than a woman who knows what she's doing.
A siren.
Dangerous. Without post-match, we got the cowboy, Hangman Adam Page. He comes down to face off with Mox.
Little pink flowers.
Yes, little jeans. Pink flowers on his jeans. He enacts the Universe Mode cutscene with Mox. They face off. But then, as they take off their shit, look like they're getting ready to start fighting right then and there, MJF pipes up from the skybox. He's like, hey, wait a minute, guys. You gotta make sure you realize that you aren't fighting each other in there. You're fighting to lose. Because I just may cash in this chip in Cincinnati, Ohio. But then as he's talking his shit, Wheeler Yuta creeps up behind him and then takes him down. Beats him down among the people. Fucking MJF falls onto some poor guy in the crowd. I just see the security, like, pushing away all the crowd members, and then MJF is, like, literally on top of this one guy, and the one guy is like, I'm not I guess he's like, trying to make sure that the security knows, yo, I'm not gonna touch him.
I'm trapped under here. Help.
I'm trapped here. Help.
But the security guard was, like, half on that dude too.
Yeah,
The blonde guy, and then he was trying to pick up MJF, but he's also trapped, kind of.
Yeah, because MJF himself is, like, at an angle where he can't, like, you know, just pop up.
Yeah, everybody's at an uncomfortable, and then it's like they're, like, flipped onto the seating.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
I just felt bad for the poor fan because he was just like, yo.
Yeah. I don't feel that bad for the fan because fans like, oh my God, MJF. I feel bad for like the damn security guard who tried to fucking fix the shit.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, fuck.
Because I just kept looking at the fan like, oh, shit, oh, shit.
I was looking at the security guard over here shaking and trembling trying to get the fuck.
Yeah, yo, that poor security guard was trying to make with his life.
Yeah, he was like, oh, God, please. Yeah, that's not a smart idea to fall onto those damn seatings. Them seating is not, not very.
arena seats, especially on that. On the top levels where you got an incline like that.
Yeah, nah. That's just scary.
Yeah.
So, bro, I was looking at them steps like, bro, if I roll, I'm going to land splat right next to Jim Ross.
Man, sheesh. My God.
He's broken in half.
I do like the MJF and Yuta stuff, though. I like what they're trying to build with them.
Yeah. It's cool. It gives him something to do till he's actually going for the belt.
Yeah. This because you know it makes sense. You know, Yuta's Blackpool Combat Club, so you know, give him something to do.
Yep. They also gave something for Danielson to do. Is everybody, you know, look at Claudio. Claudio even got something to do.
Speaking of giving people jobs, mm-hmm. Tony Schiavone is in the ring to introduce AEW's newest signing, Soraya.
Soraya. We can't even use the gimmick we created, man.
Right? We was all like, it's Soraya.
Just in case you never know. It's just like, you don't know. It's Soraya.
Sorry. Our bad.
She said, I don't want to play games.
Yes. No games. So she grabs the mic. She says, you know, I have been damaged, but not broken, and I am here to make a change in this women's division. She says, I was the revolution, and now I am the revolution.
And then you know what I was thinking during that?
What?
Revolution!
Revolution! The crowd chants, this is your house. So she picks up on it. She's like, AEW, it's my house now. And she's like, I want to bring, and I guess there's a guy ringside giving her time cues. She's like, you want to give me time cues in my house? I'm going to call out the women's division. I do what I want here. She calls out.
Time. Fuck you.
She calls. She's like, I want to bring out this great women's division, and I want you to see them.
So only four of them came out.
Yeah, out comes four women.
And one of them is one of the ladies they brought in to like make the team look a little nicer.
Yeah, they literally brought in to do what you say you're doing.
Yeah,
that's what they brought in Madison Rayne for.
Yep.
So it's Athena, Willow Nightingale, Sky Blue, Madison Rayne, and Toni Storm. Five women. Soraya, she runs down the line, starting with Toni, the women's champion. She's like, "This is the best. This is the best champion this division has ever seen."
Yeah,
and I'm like, "Hey, I love me some Toni Storm, but you're not gonna disrespect Hikaru Shida like that."
You're not going to disrespect Thunder Rosa like that.
You're not going to disspect Thunder Rosa like that.
You ain't going to disrespect Britt Baker like
that. You ain't going to disrespect Britt like that. But Britt came out to defend herself, so she's fine. But you ain't going to talk about
the other ones in Japan and the other ones injured. That's fucked up.
Yeah. You're not going to talk about them. You're not going to do that to them. All right? But
yo, my question is, where the fuck was Nyla?
Where was Nyla Rose in all this? They got to – yo – what is good? They got to give Nyla a microphone, man.
She would have called her all sorts of bitches.
Right? Listen here, bitch.
Post she posted about, it was like a corn quote.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Yo, she posted this whole fucking great thread on Twitter of the AEW roster as cars.
Oh, my God.
It was mad. Yo, Nyla Rose is fucking great. Like,
you know what's the worst part about that corn post that she posted?
What?
So, of course, if you haven't seen it, it's basically her sitting down at, like, this nice, sunny place. And then she writes down on the top, and then it says, you know, the little dash corn. Yeah. And then it also says the little dash and then Nyla Rose. And then in the caption, it says, wow, inspirational.
He is the best.
Yo, I hate you, Nyla. You too much.
He is the best, yo.
Oh, my God.
You gotta do more with her, man. Nyla is
terrible, bro.
But out comes the heel gang, Britt Baker. She comes down with fucking Rebel and Jamie Hayter. And, oh, my God, it's Penelope Ford. God bless.
Penelope Ford, yo.
Penelope is here.
Sheesh. Yo, so Kip Sabian, let me talk to you right
quick. Awesome 5000. Britt's got the mic, and she's like, you know, I put my blood, sweat, and tears on the line for AEW. I literally put my neck on the line for this division. And unlike your Saraya, my neck held up. So, you know, crowd goes, oh. And then Saraya's like, you know what, Britt? It's funny you're in there talking all that when your name rhymes with shit.
And then the crowd literally started chanting shit.
Yes. Fucking tag.
Shit, 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 shit.
As was like, she got it there, bro. She's right.
True.
She's got a point. Britt goes to Toni Storm. She's like, Toni Storm, I'm so disappointed in you because I don't like you, but I do respect you. But now you've aligned yourself with all the problematic people in AEW. You're in there, your little tag partner, Athena, she broke my nose, and the conspiracy continues. So then the crowd, Britt, she starts talking about, because Toni is about to face Serena Deeb. So she's like, if you don't be careful in there, Serena Deeb is going to stretch you. She's going to take you out. And then fucking the crowd starts chanting for Jamie Hayter out of nowhere. It's just like, Jamie Hayter!
Why?
And then Britt looks around like, yeah, and Jamie Hayter will beat you too.
Yep. Confused as hell. Let me tell you something. What we want forever is Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter. Forever.
That's what it is. That's what it
forever.
Is.
Forever. That's what it Toni is.
Storm and Jamie Hayter.
It's all we want forever, bro.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Best match of all time, bro. Just give us that over and over again.
Yeah. You wanna change this division? That's it right there. Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter matches endlessly. But now, you know, Saraya, she's like, I know you and the gang, you like to get up to some funky stuff in this ring. But
we like to call it shenanigans.
Yeah, shenanigans. But I talked to Toni, and it's so nice to have a boss that actually listens to you. And, you know, crowd pops. He says, no, this, you know, people were mad at that line.
Come on now. What are y'all salty about?
That is the most harmless cheap pop. Like, come on, bro.
What are you crying about? Vince ain't even there anymore. Shut up.
I bet Vince himself probably saw that segment. It was like, ah, that's a good line, pal.
Yeah.
I did never listen to her.
I'm an asshole.
Nah, that's good. I like that.
Good shit, pal.
They're getting mad at that. She said her name starts with shit. That's great. It's good shit.
Great sports entertainment here.
Yeah, good sports entertainment going on.
Yeah, so then Paige announces.
Yeah. So then Saraya's like, I talked to Toni, and this match is now a lumberjack match.
Yep.
And yeah, it's lumberjack match now. AEW Interim Women's Championship on the line. Serena Deeb versus Toni Storm.
Yo, I can't with Serena Deeb's theme song, bro.
Shit is gangster.
Why? It don't fair at all.
Like, yo, hit Serena's music. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
I'm like, oh.
Oh, it's that gangster Serena Deeb.
Bro, you would think fucking LAX is coming out, bro.
Like fucking Hobbs or some shit.
Fucking, I don't know. Somebody mad. Who's mad at hip-hop?
Word.
Like gangsta as hip hop. You would think West Side Gun himself is gonna have a match. God damn.
Action Bronson is coming out again.
Like fuck, man. What the hell?
Here comes Serena Deeb with her flag.
Gangsta ass. That Serena Deeb might just be a gangster.
Serena Deeb might really be about this shit.
You feel me? She come out the hip hop and she come out with a flag.
Right, she waving the flag like, I'm here to fuck you up. I'm like, all right, let's go.
She out here with her flag. She represents.
Serena Deeb ain't playing. That's OG right there.
Yo, Taz is the worst on commentary too, because he's like, oh, I personally like to call it a lumberjill match. Yo. Fucking Paige turns around and says, Lumberjack. It's all inclusive. I'm just trying to get out of here.
Fucking when she first went up there, she was like, you know, she popped the whole table. And she was like, yeah, you know, my name is Soraya. You know, I gave you a little tweet, Excalibur.
I told him that.
I told Tony that's what your name is. it was a fun little bit.
Yo, get Taz out of here, bro.
Yo, Taz. If y'all don't watch the fight feed of the show, y'all gotta watch the fight feed of the show. Cause like the second they go to commercial, it's always Taz that says some fucking hilarious bullshit and makes everybody on commentary laugh.
Yo, Taz got problems. I still do feel like they got too many motherfuckers on commentary.
It do be a lot. Like, especially now because they have like a rotation. Sometimes it's Tony, sometimes it's JR, sometimes it's
shit. At Grand Slam, they had Paul Hart.
Yeah, Paul Hart was there.
Too like, many motherfuckers, bro. Like I get tired. Like I don't know who's talking after a while. Yeah. I mean, I know Taz because Taz is Taz.
Yeah.
And when Skiavon gets hyped, you can tell it's Skiavon. But when he's talking normal and the man in the mask is also talking normal, can't tell who the fuck.
I was say,
was that Skiavon or was that
was that the man in the mask? If you gotta do three, I wish you would just do two, but if you gotta do three, I guess you just do Excalibur, Tony, and Taz.
You want to know what my problem is with three?
What?
They always have a guest.
And that was gonna be the other thing. If you're gonna have three, you can't always also have a guest, right? And I get why they have the guest because it's usually like someone relevant to the match. Like if it's a Blackpool Combat Club match, it's gonna be Regal. If it's a Jazz match, it'll be Jericho, unless Jericho's in the match. But like,
same thing with MJF. Same thing with what do you call it? When Wardlow used to come out.
Same thing
with Stokes. He's another one. I don't know. Sanjay's still.
If Lethal, sometimes Sanjay will go on commentary. So like, yeah, for that, that makes sense, and I get that, and I actually like that. But if you got three motherfuckers, then it turns into four motherfuckers constantly throughout the show. Which is
look at this situation, Paige here.
Because now you got three commentators trying to work, but they also got Soraya there, so they gotta let her get her shit in because she's telling a story here.
I'm the evolution.
Yes. Serena's got the neck crank locked in. Then Jamie Hayter interferes. She sweeps Tony's leg outside, and then fucking Willow runs over, and her and Jamie start beefing, and I'm like,
yo,
oh,
she throws hands, bro.
Yeah.
She's heavy-handed, bro. She whoop, and I'm like, oh,
I see Willow and Jamie start throwing hands, and I'm like, wait a minute. This match right here.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that. Mm-hmm.
They're going to give it to us, I guess, because they was, I mean, like I said, Willow was throwing hands that if she would have punched me like that, I would have been like, hey.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be Willow and Jamie on Rampage. So I was like, hell yeah.
Y'all rewatched, and she booked it after her, bro. I was like, damn, bro, these motherfuckers is fighting.
Yeah, Willow was like, you're not going to fucking.
And then Paige on commentary is like, well, there goes that part of the. She's like, I just want Tony to win. That's it.
Yeah, that's what I want. So Serena, she goes for the Serenity Lock. Tony escapes, goes for a top rope crossbody, but Serena rolls it through, puts on a half crab. Then Tony breaks out and kills her with her hips.
Yep. Should have been me.
And then she goes for Storm Zero, but Serena reverses. And then Tony drops her with the Storm Zero for the 1-2. She got her. No. She kicks out of Storm Zero. So then Tony is like, all right, now you die. She takes her up top and hits an avalanche Storm Zero, which means, yes, an avalanche pile driver for the 1-2-3.
Three.
Crowd popped big for Serena Deeb. Fucking dying.
Yep. Listen, they said on WWE motherfuckers can't do the tombstone, so but in AEW all the pile drivers you want.
The shit.
That pile driver right there.
That was
Well, we said she was gangster, so she'll be all right.
Yeah, she'll be all right. She's gonna come back next week. Like, you, she, we're waving the flag and all that. Ready.
Yeah. Gang shit.
But yeah, I thought this was a good match. As far as the segment beforehand goes, I guess we should talk a little bit about that. It felt WWE to me.
Very.
Very WWE to me.
All the SmackDown women standing in a row.
All the SmackDown women standing in a row.
But you got. I'm going to say something, though. It made sense to do that because they were short-handed.
Yes. So, like, I'm not knocking them too much for doing it this way because they were short-handed. And it's like, I guess I also get it in terms of Saraya, because her whole thing is, I'm here and I want to – it's like a refresh. Yeah. Like I'm showing off this division. I want to build it up from scratch. I want to show you how great everybody is. So I get that whole thing. It put a lot of women on screen all at once and built up some matches. So it in general, it served its purpose.
Yep. And it's all until they could clear her. The moment they get even a little tiny glimpse, a little tiny little glimmer of hope, she's going to be fine. They're immediately just going to fucking throw her in there. I know that shit for a fact.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm sure she wants it that way. But yeah, it did feel like weirdly WWE in that sense of, you know, all the SmackDown women standing in a row. And then you got the one woman like, this is the revolution. I have built the revolution and all that.
Yeah, that's one thing that people online were talking about, that they were saying that promo with Paige was a little weak in the beginning. Yeah. You know, and if it wasn't for everybody else, that was looking a little grim. But to be honest, you know, like, I'm pretty sure she didn't really have to come out here and even really say anything. You know, they probably told her, hey, just go out there and introduce this match, you know. So the fact that she even said anything and tried to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just stop fucking micro picking everything, and that's a little tiny little problem. Oh, no.
Yeah, like, there was some clunkiness in this, but, like, yeah. Overall, like, if you look at a big picture, it's like, okay, I get where this is going. I get where I get what they're trying to do. So I'm gonna let them cook. Like, it wasn't offensive or nothing. So and it wasn't bad at all, honestly. But I'm gonna let it cook.
People online disagree with that shit. Okay. I didn't. That's the thing. Like, I didn't make a big deal about it. Like, to me, it was just like, oh, she's coming out. She's introducing this match, kind of deal.
Yeah.
And we got her back, and it's kind of fun to see her on TV again. Like. That's one thing, man, that I always feel like, you know, I do this podcast thing. But my opinion on wrestling is I like to watch wrestling. I'm not out here really nitpicking like that unless it's like, you know, something that's like bad, you know?
Yeah.
This was just like, she said some shit, you know, they had a great match. You know, she was on commentary having some fun. It's good to see her on TV.
Yeah.
Willow Nightingale's a beast.
Yeah, man. That's hands, crazy. Bro, her Jimmy Hayter, I am ready for that.
Yo, Willow fucking that has two hands, bro. It's shit, bro.
With the shits.
Remind me not to piss her off, bro.
Hell no. Now we got Tony with the new tag team champions, the Acclaimed.
Scissor me, Daddy Ass.
He there too. Daddy Ass is there too. And next week, they declare, is National Scissoring Day. So Max.
Outside of anything but wrestling, bro. I swear to God.
Right. They said, we going to take this outside of wrestling immediately. Max says, bring your shirts, your scissors, and bring your chants. Because everybody loves the Acclaimed. Also, they are going to fight somebody on Rampage. And then Keith Lee walks up, and he's like, I wanted to congratulate you guys. As you can see, Swerve is not here with me right now. He is exceptionally disgruntled. But after seeing what happened last week, I actually understand why you got involved in the match, Billy.
Mm.
And then he looks to the Acclaimed. He tells them, boys, you got carried. Good luck out there. And he walks off.
This pissed me off a little bit.
Oh, why?
The Acclaimed could have easily. Your boy pulled up with a fucking boombox.
Yeah, your boy tried to cheat first.
What are you talking about? Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact that you got in the way, that would have been us.
Yeah,
we didn't get carried. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Yeah, that's what happened. So now, if you want to talk, we can talk about that too. Let's go. But I guess I'm different.
I'm different. Billy says, I got two words for swerve. Mm-hmm. Scissor me. Then they fucking scissor.
Scissor me, daddy.
Fucking. I still find it hilarious that WWE is about to do a DX reunion without Billy Gunn. He's the most popular fucking member of the group right now.
Pretty much, yeah. Fucking Road Dogg is... Sean,
how you gonna bring out Road Dogg without Billy Gunn? Get the fuck. Get the fuck.
That don't work. You imagine, though, Triple H asked Tony permission.
Hey, why not? Can we borrow Billy Gunn? We'll give you fucking, I don't know.
Who do we have?
Fucking we got a lot of people here. There.
We'll give you, who do you guys like over there?
Who you guys like? Who you want for a show?
you can lend me Adam Cole.
Maybe lend me Adam Cole.
I think that's what the problem is with Tony. Tony know that if you lend him Billy Gunn, he gonna be like, hey, you know that Malachi Black guy? We'll keep his name and everything. We'll call him Malachi. We just want him to
just
moment the fucking contract is over, fucking. Hey, we kind of want that Malachi Black guy.
Yeah, let's get
we'll give you X-Pac. Doesn't even wrestle anymore, man. What the I'm fuck? No, you getting that, you know, like Billy, you know? Yeah, no.
Although a kid AEW run.
Huh?
Now that I'm thinking about it.
I mean...
I don't know.
No, Teach, man. Come on, man. Leave that man alone. He's retired, bro. Damn,
yo. AEW? I don't know.
Wrestling fans, but you can't leave a man retired. He's chilling, bro. He got his cute little dog. He's having, yo, man, don't fuck up his life, man. He's good.
Trying to tell me 1-2-3 Kid versus fucking Darby.
Let him rock, man. Let him rock, bro.
We got the AFO in the back. They are arguing. Fucking Butcher and Blade and Private Party are all arguing. About the battle royal and shit, and then Andrade and Jose step in, and Andrade's like, "You need to listen to me. I am the boss. You all work for me." And then Jose,
bro, you know who you sound like?
What?
Armando,
Alejandro,
Estrada.
Everyone, listen to me.
Listen to me.
It's true. And that's why, because that's been in my head for years. Everyone listen to me.
That shit was damn, you should have kept that motherfucker. Who fucked that up?
Yeah, that shit was so good.
Who fucked that up, man?
Right? They even had him as a wrestler for a while. After Umaga was gone for a second, they was like, we're just going to use him as a wrestler.
Why not, man? What's wrong with y'all? I would have had that man still managing.
Gave that man a microphone every week. Everyone listen to me. Shit was money.
Yeah. It was some good ideas in that era. There was a lot of bad ideas, too.
Yeah, there was a lot of bullshit. You know, there was some good shit in that era, man.
Getting an Italian kid, Muhammad Hassan, to play a fucking Arabic dude.
And then the fucking locker room hazes him out of the business.
Fucking getting Eugene to be the Eugene character.
They did. Just the Eugene character in general.
Ah, God, man. Yeesh. And to be honest, Dinsmore apparently was actually one of like the top guys in OVW, and they fucked him over with the stupid ass shit.
Dinsmore was like a veteran by that point. Like, you could have gave that man anything to do.
Damn, yo, what I wouldn't have done for AEW at that point in time. Could have been AEW, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. People that want AEW to die, like, you don't know, man. You don't know. I do not want to go back to that shit, bro. I do not. But
that's why that's another thing too. In that era too, we had like TNA was starting to build, so I was kind of happy, you know, that we had something. Not anymore, man. It's AEW. AEW's way bigger than Impact would have ever been.
Yeah.
So y'all better stop talking shit, man. Because we want more than one company.
Exactly.
Trust me.
Big, like. I like officially we're now at the point where I know what it's like to have, you know, two big companies, damn near three back from mm-hmm. back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen what it's like to literally only have one.
Nah, that shit was bad.
I know which one is better. Mm-hmm. What we got right now is better.
Yep. And people still be... To be honest, we need a third one to step up, goddammit.
Yeah, we need... we could use more shit. Like, we could use more.
Like, I would go to Impact and polish that motherfucker up. Get him some good... I mean... To be honest though, Impact got a good ass deal.
Yeah.
Because even though they're not on like a big channel, they put themselves on every fucking streaming platform that exists.
Yeah.
They have their own channel on most fucking streaming platforms. That's insane, bro.
Yeah. So some way or another, you may run into Impact some way somehow. But Private Party seems to have had enough of the fucking AFO.
Yeah,
and then Matt Hardy walks up to them.
First, Skiavon was gonna say something, and now it bothers me because now I'm like,
"Yeah, what was he gonna say?" Because Tony's like, "Hey, I want to tell you guys something. I normally don't get involved like this." Yeah. And then Matt comes up. I'm like, "Yo, hold up. What was Tony gonna say?"
<Hey. laughs> Fucking now we got to deal with this idiot. I love you, Matt, but no, man, I want to hear what Tony was going
to
say.
Tony was about to spit. He was about to spit some shit.
Tony never say nothing, so when he was gonna say, I was like, "Oh, wait, hold on, guys. Let me. What was he gonna say?"
Yeah. Then Matt comes over. He's like, "Listen, guys. You know, last week us reuniting after that battle royal, it felt right. It felt good. We are connected." And that Private Party is like, "That's facts." And he's like, "You know, I'm sorry that I put you in this situation, but you being under Andrade, he's worse for your career than Big Money Matt ever was. So you guys, we're going to get this right. We're going to get back together. And I promise if you guys come back to me, we'll do it the right way this time."
Yo, let me tell you something. The fact that he refers to like Money Matt as like a different person.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. I mean, but hey. And especially when you look at it from the story, it says, you know, Big Money Matt was the persona that fucked Private Party over. And he genuinely feels bad about that. So
we're going to do it right this time. I swear.
Yeah.
I swear.
So, yeah. I like that this story seems to be coming to a head because they've been building this for a while. Matt and Private Party came back together. So, I'm with the shits. Now we got absolute Ricky Starks versus Eli Isom of Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know who this guy was, but
Excalibur says, "Hey, this man has made his bones on Ring of Honor, and then he got squashed."
that was bad. This guy, you know, he's a good guy, blah blah blah. You know, he's been here and he's been doing all this good shit. And 1, 2, 3. Yeah, so about that.
Fucking Rochambeau looked sick though. Sick looking.
Hell, he threw him.
Hell yeah. I never seen him throw a motherfucker like that. Oh shit.
I was like, Ricky was not playing. Did I tell you Ricky Starks? I actually told him that I was at the show last week. And he actually kind of like, "Yo, thanks for staying."
Yeah, because
he knew, man. It was long, bro. It was a long show.
It was long. Now, it looks like there's been enough talk.
Oh, shit.
It's time
for the main event.
Ring of Honor World Championship on the line. Former champion Bandido versus current champion Chris Jericho.
Yeah. I don't. Go ahead. Well, I was going to say something that Jericho mentioned. He never got his rematch.
Yeah.
So this was it.
Yeah. Chris Jericho as defending Ring of Honor World Champion is something that I don't know that I'll ever be used to. That is still crazy to me.
Ocho.
Yeah, the Ocho, Chris Jericho. Mm-hmm. The fucking director must have given an order to show women. Show where the ladies at. Where the ladies at? Women. Because during Jericho's entrance, nothing but women singing Judas. Every other camera shot is a woman singing Judas. There was this one black girl in the front row. God bless.
Tevin.
Listen, man. The director's fault. He showed her twice. He knew too. He knew what was up. He showed her twice.
Well, when Bandido came out, they were just like, yeah. No yeah. love, bro. I'm like, yo, Bandido's a good wrestler. What's wrong with y'all? Y'all don't remember him?
Dang, no.
Y'all got to go back in the day. You don't remember Bandido? I used to make fun of him because he had a regular name, a regular word as a name. It's like, hi, I'm Bandit. Like, fuck. Yeah, just Bandit. Yeah. And it's even worse that he comes out with the you know, yeah, his bandit, mask is basically a bandana.
Bandit, yeah.
And then he has the little fedora hat. Yeah. He's legit a bandit, bro. There's nothing. That's weird as hell, bro. What's your name? Bandit. What's your gimmick? I'm a bandit.
Oh, shit. Okay. Simple. Simple.
Yeah, it's simple, but it's just like, that's a little too simple. Like, really? That's
it? Nothing else? No, I'm a bandit.
You ain't going to come up with a cool name like, I don't know, Heel Zorro or some cool shit like that.
Nah, man, I'm a bandit. Nah,
bro. I'm a bandit, so my name is Bandit.
I'm gonna do the cool shit in the ring. That's why he can get away with it.
Yeah. But there's just like, and that's the thing too. Like the crowd was just like Bandito. Yeah. Okay. That's it. He don't got a first name, Chris Bandito.
Fucking Keenan and Kel style, Bandito.
Bandito.
Yo, rest in peace, Coolio.
Damn, bro. That's what I was gonna say. Speaking of that, rest in peace. Yo. Man, you know what part I put on my goddamn? I'm a low gangster set tripping gangster. That was the most West Coast shit I ever heard him say, bro.
Hell yeah, bro.
He was always talking about life and shit, you know. But that's the way that he used to spit, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I always thought was dope, that he did that. He made that song, fucking obviously classic all time hip hop record. And then, like, what, a year after that, yeah. He went and fucking did the Keenan and Kel theme.
Yeah. Oh, here it goes.
Icon, man. Icon.
Man.
Like, damn, like, hip-hop is really ingrained in our culture back in the day. Like, shit, like, and it was because of shit like that. Like, dudes with number one records, like, yeah, I'm gonna do this Nickelodeon shit.
Yeah, for the kids.
For the kids. And to this day, we remember that shit. To this day, we remember it.
Yep.
So, you know, rest in peace, Coolio.
Hey, how many years is it later? It's got to be like 30-something.
Close
almost
to,
40 years later.
30.
And you out here fucking still.
It's
still
ingrained in not even just in our culture, in just pop culture in general. Culture
in general, yeah.
Yeah, like that's tough. So,
yeah.
You know, Coolio, icon of the game. But
yo, so Bobby Cruz.
Bobby Cruz, icon of the game.
Yeah. Good segue.
Yeah. So Bobby Cruz, of course, doing intros for the match. Ian Riccoboni on commentary. This is Ring of Honor.
Yep.
And of course, you know, we start with the Code of Honor.
Yep.
So they
a version of the Code of Honor.
Right. So they shake hands and, you know,
wiggity wiggity wiggity.
Yeah, then Jericho wiggity wiggity wiggity. I'm like, oh, Jericho and his rocket power shit. Let's go.
Jericho was trolling Bandito the whole time where he can't try to give him a power. And then what's this guy's name on commentary? I forgot his name.
Riccoboni?
Yeah, Riccoboni. He has a weird name. So
Ian Riccoboni.
Ian. Hurricane Ian.
Hurricane Ian Riccoboni.
but he was over here talking about like, that's not how you do that shit. Fuck, you're making a mockery. You're making a mockery of this shit. Fuck. Yeah. He was so pissed. It's not how we do this.
Yeah, it felt like they like had to hammer in the story this week for the people that didn't fucking get it from last week. Yo, the story is Chris Jericho does not respect Ring of Honor. We're going to tell you this very blatantly.
He said it earlier. He called it, what was it, the Ring of Jericho.
Yeah, he said, this is Ring of Jericho. Fuck that shit.
Everything is of Jericho now.
That's always been one of my favorite Jericho gimmicks. Everything is of Jericho. Or so is Jericho.
These guys are like trading blows and shit like that in the beginning, the crowd kind of starts chanting, "We want pizza."
Yes.
Yep. Go ahead.
And I guess Bandito heard that and was and like, I'm all right.
All right.
Bet.
All right. He got hype after. I don't know if he heard "We want refunds" in his head or some shit.
Yeah.
But after that, he was like, oh, word. He does a quick gimmick. right before commercial. And then as soon as he does his gimmick, he comes back out. He goes outside and he starts slapping fives with the crowd, engaging the audience, like getting them hype. You feel me? And I'm like, yeah.
That's and they a go worker.
Into pip.
That's a fucking worker right there.
Mm-hmm. He knows. He's like, word? Y'all just going to ignore that I'm in this ring. Y'all not going to cheer me when I come out. Okay. I'm going to make you cheer me before I leave this shit.
You're going to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So
at first he went up to the guys in the front row. I got love for you. I got love for you. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay. That's what all that really was.
Yeah.
Watch me. Look at me. Watch. You're going to see some shit.
Yeah, and he gonna
find out why we like Bandito.
Yes, this Jericho goes off the top, but Bandito cuts him off with a big kick, hits him with a fucking one armed press slam.
What?
Like, and I think that was part of what threw the crowd off because, like,
yep,
yeah, you know, Bandito, he could do flips and all the crazy, mm-hmm. you know, great lucha moves, but he's strong. Also strong as mm-hmm. shit.
Yep.
So he did that one arm press, and the crowd was like, oh shit, wait a minute. And then this man grabs Jericho, lifts him up in a delayed vertical suplex,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding him, and he's holding him,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding him,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding him,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding him.
Mm-hmm.
Taz at one point, because the crowd is counting the seconds, how long he's holding him. Taz at one point, by the time they get up to like 40 seconds, he's like, I didn't know they could count this high in Philly.
Did they count as good as we did at fucking? I saw the gimmick, so I saw you. I saw fucking Yoshi's clip. Yeah. I totally got that shit wrong. I thought I got it right, and then it's like when you actually watch the footage back, what happens is the crowd starts saying another number, so you keep trying to fucking keep in tune with your number, so you keep. Yeah. It's a mess, bro. That's what it is.
That's why I stopped.
And then I heard you. Man, nobody's doing this shit right.
Like, damn it. Nobody does this right.
You can hear my stupid ass counting hella wrong. And then, man, nobody do this shit right. I'm still counting. But, I mean, Hazel also got 21. So maybe me, like, trying to find my rhythm again. Maybe I did get it right. Maybe
it put you back on course and you ultimately were right anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's tough dealing with the crowd in a swing. But
you got a whole bunch of other people saying the wrong shit.
Yeah. Counting seconds is much simpler as they did with this, as Bandito holds Jericho up in a delayed vertical suplex for over a minute, gets a standing ovation from the crowd. That same crowd that was chanting for pizza and not really paying attention, they are now on their feet.
Yo, I'm gonna hit up my son Bandito and be like, yo, how do I kill time in a match but have people cheer me after?
Facts.
Kill a whole last minute if you hold the nigga in a vertical suplex for a whole minute.
A whole minute? Yeah, it's gonna
bro, you could kill a whole minute. All right, cool. I mean, I'll be cool with that if I ever have to wrestle anybody that's not Keith Lee. I don't think I can hold that.
If you hold Keith Lee in a delayed vertical for over a minute, you're over forever.
Yep.
You're over forever.
Claudio, you heard that?
Yeah.
He's the only one that I believe can do it.
Yeah, I believe Claudio can do it.
Claudio's nasty, bro. If when he picked this motherfucker up and just dragged him out with no shoe.
Like a child.
Just, come here. Come on. Stop misbehaving. I'm going to throw your ass in the bathtub. You got to take a bath.
Yeah.
Look, your foot is all dirty. Look at you.
Yeah, you're like a stupid out here in these streets. What's wrong with you?
I'm still mad this man came out like somebody's father picked him up and took him home.
Right. What the hell? Get your ass. Get in the back.
Tell you get inside. You're going to get inside.
Don't make me bring my ass out here again. Jericho and Bandito, they go up top. Bandito flies off, but he flies into a code breaker. Clean code breaker that gets a near fall.
Like a sharp knife in his back.
Hell yeah. Then they go to the apron. Bandito fucking runs over to the apron. Rana's Jericho to the floor as we go to the final picture in picture. Jericho is like, we give it love to Bandito because he's Bandito. Yeah. He deserves it. But also, shout out to Jericho for taking all this shit. Like,
and I'm going to still show love to Bandito because let me ask you a question. How you do a frog splash sideways?
Yo,
Jericho was OD on the wrong side for him to do a frog splash.
And Bandito was like, oh, Fuck it.
And it was a coast-to-coast frog. Like, he was on the whole other side, bro.
And it landed clean.
Yeah, and he had to, like, hook a leg a little more to the side. You got to think about shit. How do you think about that shit in midair, my nigga? I'm just falling. You over here like, I mean, I got to lift this leg up. If not, I'm going to hit a rope.
Yeah, that's, like, that's how you calculated that behavior. Like,
wow, man. Did you notice that Bandito's bandana mask part started off white and ended red?
Yes.
Shit. I wonder what happened.
About it. And yeah, yeah. And the commentators even talk about it. They're like, yeah, he's clearly bleeding under that mask.
Mm-hmm.
So Jericho goes up. Bandito tries to come back. Hits him with a crucifix bomb for a two count. He almost fucked this up. And then at like the very last moment, got it and stuck it and landed it clean. I was like, yo, this man Bandito is on a different type of time today.
But we know this. That's what it is. That's what bothers me, is that we know how good Bandito is.
Yes.
They didn't know.
They didn't know. That's
what, like, if we was in New York, bro, we would have known. We know Bandito.
Yeah, we'd have been off rip going crazy because Bandito, but
they didn't know. They was out here like, yeah.
They figured it out, though.
Chicago, too, would have went eight for his shit because he'd be in Chicago all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Bandito was on All In, so they would know for sure.
Yep.
So, he goes up, but Bandito cuts him off, hits a moonsault press fallaway slam for the one,
how you even
two. You got him, no. That was crazy.
This man is he different. he got special powers.
So he goes for the XD. Man. Follows with the 21-plex, which if you've never seen the 21-plex Bandito's finisher, it is a fucking crazy move, and I can't believe Jericho took it. But, hey, hits with the 21-plex, goes for the 1-2. He got him. No. Jericho kicks out, and then he pulls his mask down, drops him, locks in the Lion Tamer. Straight
because
up.
Because it would be Chris style. Jericho wrestling a luchador for an indie title. 20-30 years after his career started.
Yeah.
Just like if he was in WCW, like, this is crazy.
this felt like WCW.
Yep. You know. Jericho, I'm impressed, man. How old are you now? 40-something? 50-something?
Jericho is in his mid-50s, and he is...
Yeah.
Like, he's doing it again. And I feel like I said this a few months ago. He's really about to do it again, isn't he? He's about to have another fucking, I can't believe Jericho still got it like this running. Here we are. I can't believe Jericho still got it like this.
Yep. It started last week when he did that run on Claudio and told me mouth. After that, it's been a wrap. That boy good. That boy good.
This was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this what we're getting out of Ring of Honor World Champion Chris Jericho? Because, shit, I will take it.
And there's no bullshit.
Yeah, like, he didn't even fucking cheat in this. I mean,
he did some fuck shit, but that's Jericho.
But he don't do his fuck shit, but not too much shenanigans.
Yeah. He did his fuck shit. He's a heel. He got to.
Yeah.
You know? But he didn't do anything that was out of the norm.
Yeah.
There wasn't 13 people. There wasn't Floyd.
Yeah, no crazy run-ins, no crazy weapons. Just a really good match with a solid heel finish.
Now here's where the bullshit starts.
Jericho gets the mic. Mm-hmm. He says, I am going to destroy the legacy of Ring of Honor as the new Ring of Jericho champion. I will beat every former great Ring of Jericho champion that there was. Started with Bryan Danielson in my home country of Toronto. He said that.
He also called Bobby Cruz to the ring.
Yes.
So that he can say this. So just keep that in mind.
Yes, he called Bobby Cruz in. Bobby Cruz is holding up the mic and he's saying, you know, I'm going to desecrate the legacy of Ring of Honor. It's now Ring of Jericho. I'm going to beat all the great Ring of Honor champions and I will prove that I'm better and I will take out every Ring of Honor champion, wrestler, announcer. Even ring announcer. And Bobby Cruz turns and looks at him like, what? And then Jericho,
what do you decks mean?
Him and then hits
he
him with
kills
the Judas
Bobby effect. Cruz, bro.
Judas effect on Bobby Cruz. Bobby Cruz took a great fucking bump for this.
Bobby Cruz is innocent, bro.
Bobby Cruz did not deserve this.
He don't do nothing, bro. He just comes out here. He makes you feel like you're in a real sports arena.
Damn right.
Like, damn, bro, why you do that to the one guy who actually make me feel like I'm watching a sport?
Because this is sports entertainment.
Damn, bro.
Fucking fucked up.
Damn, why you do that, man?
So yeah, that's how the show ends with Excalibur. Like, this is despicable. I can't believe he's done this to Bobby Cruz.
Man. I don't know why, but I low-key would have switched this a little bit. Okay. I don't know. I guess just because I didn't want to leave this feeling bad. Would have had Juice and Mox at the end just so I could... You feel me?
Yeah.
I could go home with a... You know what I'm saying?
That would have worked because then you would have had the post-match with Yuta.
Yep.
So then you get the... Ended off with hometown guy. He takes out MJF. Yep. Yeah, that would have worked. That would have worked.
Yep. Instead of fucking... I mean, Bandido did that shit. Maybe that happened because Bandido had to prove to these motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's why I think it was good.
Yeah.
But I would have ended it with Mox and Juice because that match was good too. And the difference is with that match is everybody was popping. So everybody know everybody. You feel me?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They didn't know too much about Bandido, this crowd. They weren't... You know, they weren't clued in as much. Or they were, like, very tired. Because
it could have been that, too.
Towards the end of the fucking show, they were just like, eh.
Yeah.
You know? And then they were talking about pizza. They were not, you know, they weren't in the right spot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like we talked about. Bandido had the, hey!
Yep. He did that shit, though. He did that. He definitely did that. That's why I'm like, yo, maybe he had to go through this, you know, trial. So that way he can, you know, that's why I'm okay with it. But me stepping back and booking it on paper, I would have had Mox, you know, and Juice close the show, especially since it was a hot feud in New Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying? So the fans would have known. But, you know, and then, you know, I missed that goddamn title belt. I love the New Japan US belt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is a good belt. It is a good belt.
It's the only red belt that I actually find cool.
Yeah, yeah. It is one of the proper ways you do a red belt.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, that would have been a cool way. But, I mean, I guess it had to happen this way so Bandido could show these motherfuckers what he about.
That's right.
Which worked out in the end. I also heard some rumors, though, that Tony didn't really have any plans for Ring of Honor originally. And he had to kind of like on the fly start coming up with ideas and shit. So I feel like maybe this was like an answer to those rumors as well. Like, shut the fuck up. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt he didn't have like plans for Ring of Honor at the time when he bought it. Cause like, he didn't know he was going to be able to buy it. Like, he didn't know Ring of Honor was about to be available.
Mm-hmm. Apparently they just kept it away from WWE because WWE would have just turned it into a video library.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm sure Tony was like, well, shit, if I don't get it, then they're gonna fucking just take it and kill it,
do nothing with it. Yeah,
yeah, so shit, like he clearly has some sort of plan. Like, he probably had to get his footing going with getting the roster right and everything, but like, it's gonna take, like we've constantly told people, this Ring of Honor thing is gonna take time. Like, eventually, yes, the Ring of Honor stuff is all going to eventually leave AEW TV and go back to being infrequent. Yeah. And when Ring of Honor gets his own TV deal. But they're trying to establish that for the brand right now. Yeah. Like, they're trying to.
Unfortunately, they can't really get a good TV deal. Apparently, they just don't feel like it's very viable right now to have a wrestling show go up against, well, first of all, their own company.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, go up against WWE because WWE is so big. But I mean, I would present it to the people who I'm trying to, you know, present this company to as just a completely different alternative, way more sports based. I would try to actually get it to channels that show a little more sports and stuff like that. So that way they can get in something like that, you know, because I feel like that's where Ring of Honor belongs. In a very sports-based network and stuff like that. But if not, try to get it on somewhere that at least is visible on everybody's TV or most people's TVs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't stress it too much as getting like a big-name network, you know what I'm saying? Just try something simple because, to be honest, Ring of Honor in a simple company like that, you know, would work You know, they don't have to be in a huge, you know, deal. If you put them in a huge deal, then they're going to have to perform every fucking week. And then you're going to have to start doing a whole bunch of sports entertaining shit on fucking Ring of Honor. And we don't want that. We want Ring of Honor to be pure.
We've had our sports entertainment eras of Ring of Honor, and the less said about them, the better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would work better in a lighter deal. You know, just an hour. I would just tell them, give me an hour. Well, I'd say give me 2 hours so that we could have two shows. But yeah. I just want an hour per show.
Yeah. An hour, simple show. You can build some things up and, you know, however many pay-per-views they want to do. I guess they kept the old pay-per-view schedule, but however many they want to do. Yeah. And they should rock. But
and then when they get their own network or their own deal where they have like a, you know, they can include Ring of Honor and stuff like that. So that people can get more acquainted, and when it starts making more money and it starts getting bigger, then you make it to not even, I'd make it like 90 minutes each show.
And
that's clean right there. That's one of the things I feel like they should do with Rampage to this day. 90 minutes.
I am a big proponent of the 90 minute wrestling show.
Like I said, I liked last week's 2 hours, especially because there's so much going on. Not gonna do that every week. Cut a half hour. 90 minutes. That's clean.
Yeah. So that's what we would say there. And that was AEW Dynamite.
Yes, sir.
I thought this was a decent show. It's just like we talked about, you know, they were feeling the effects of being shorthanded because of the hurricane. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like with that, they took some steps to do some good things with MJF and Yuta.
They built people.
Yeah, they built MJF and Yuta. They did. The Saraya thing, and clearly they're trying to build some women out of that. There was good stuff on this show. Fucking Bandido fucking made himself a star.
But he's one of those guys that I was like, there's, you know, no doubt in my mind. I mean, the nigga's name is Bandit. like I already knew, like when I first saw this dude, I'm like, really, man, that's your name? Then I seen him wrestle, and I'm like, fuck your name, nigga. That's a dope-ass fucking match you just had. Like, I don't give a damn. And then that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, so it's going to be every time they see Bandido. But, the Daniel Garcia stuff is going along, and it's going well.
I love that shit. That shit is good.
You're a wrestler! Yeah. That moment when he finally does fucking snap and say, I am a wrestler, is going to get such a big pop. It's gonna be good. AEW sitting here building. They got a big Canada show coming up. They got another Battle of the Belts coming up in a couple weeks too, I think. So
damn,
they got some stuff going
they
on.
Better see, here's the thing I don't like about Battle of the Belts. They always do it on Saturday.
I think they're not this time though. I think this time they're doing it after Rampage.
Yes, do it after. That makes sense. I like that.
Yes.
That works for me. I don't like when y'all do it on Saturday.
Yeah.
It's like I watched Rampage and then I gotta watch Rampage again. It's weird.
And it's like, it will work now because, you know, we recently had a 2-hour Rampage, so this would basically be that. So yeah.
I'm down with it.
That'll be good. But that was Dynamite.
Damn, you know what just decided to play?
What?
The beginning. Well, basically, the it goes to the next episode, right?
Right.
And it went to us. And us singing Judas, and that's insane, bro. Insane, bro.
Yeah, we
they didn't do that shit, nigga. Not in Philly.
Not in Philly. They ain't have it like that in Philly. They did have homegirl, though. But they ain't have it like that in Philly.
And we got more than that one homegirl, bro.
True.
If that's what you really want, just show a video of Dykeman before you show.
Oh god.
Show a video of Dykeman right quick, and then fucking then you put Arthur Ashe, and then that's it.
Shit. that's the show. We had a good
damn
time.
You see, I should have got a cab, and I should have bought some extra tickets and went to Dykeman and then, you know, beautified Arthur Ashe a little bit.
They beautified it.
What's wrong with me? Oh god. Anyways, Teach, let them know where to find us.
You already know where to find us. Mm-hmm. Find us on Instagram at Ramble Mania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at Ramble Mania, Facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also, find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club, where we and the other wrestlers, podcasters, everybody that we associate with, post all our goings on. and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere your podcasts are found, search Ramble Mania Show or Dancer Club. As far as the visuals, we're right here, twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. We're on Spotify video. We're on YouTube. Search Ramble Mania Show or Dancer Club. And when you get here, like the videos, click subscribe and click the bell so that when the new content drops, it goes straight to you. And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJ the Great One. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJ the Great. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. I couldn't do that shit last week. Fuck y'all.
We back. We back.
That was an evil ass laugh. You can find me on Instagram at the number 6, letter X, letter L. That is at 6XL. You can find me on Twitter at SIIXX. Ain't I great? That is at SIIXX. You're all ready. You can find us on TikTok at Ramble Mania Show. We post little clips of all the things that we do here for all of
Yeah.
I'm going to leave my BCLians, our BCLians. You know the Ramble Maniacs, of course. You dig the Ramble Maniacs? Well, little something we like to call a not too sweet,
too sweet,
and a good fight,
and a good night.
And it go a little something like this: hey, blinky, blinky, blink, blinky, blinky, blink, blinky, blinky, blink, blinky, blinky, blink, blinky, 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 blin